Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us and starting the weekend with us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Gibson.
It would be a little weird. A nice place for a guitar place.
Yes. I have a friend that works for Gibson Guitars.
Can you give him a call and see if he'll give me a discount?
I can shoot him a Facebook message. How about that?
How close are you to this guy?
We used to work together back in the day.
So he's a Memphis guy, not
No, he's a Starkville guy who moved to Memphis.
Is he a State fan?
Not really. Oh, okay. Not a big sports guy.
See, we could use our benefit.
We could, like, but it's just not. He's not the right guy for that.
Dang it!
So sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you.
Maybe there. He could give me a discount though.
I mean, we could see. I can still, find out
just
about
to
that.
See,
I'll float that out there for you. So
wherever you are, mind having a Gibson Electric.
Yeah. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com. And you can be drinking that coffee each and every morning, just like you were here in Starkville or Tupelo. And, of course, every sip of coffee benefits the Bulldog Initiative, just like you do when you deal with our friends at Pip Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business need. That's what they wrote down on this piece of paper here for me. What it means is if you need to get people in the front door of your business, Pip Printing and Signs has a plan for you. They are an MSU-owned and operated business, 30 years of experience here in the state of Mississippi and down there in Ridgeland. They're a Bulldog Initiative business, and you can be too just by switching your business to Pip Printing and Signs. If you're a state fan and you're a business owner, you already spend money on printing. Send it to Pip Printing and Signs, and 10% of whatever you spend goes right back to the Bulldog Initiative in your business's name. So you're supporting Mississippi State without having to spend an extra dime of your own money. That's a great deal and one you really cannot pass up. Call Camden Baker at 601-499-5216, or you can visit them online, pipridgeland.com, find out more about the services they offer. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. It is Super Bulldog weekend. If you're coming up here from the capital city, you need to make a stop at College Corner before you do. That way, when I see you, and when Robbie sees you, more importantly, you're not wearing that banner M. You're wearing that state script, that interlocking, that M over S. And Robbie doesn't have to have all the emotional baggage that comes with that, all right?
I already have enough emotional baggage.
Robbie has developed a form of PTSD. When he sees the banner M, 1,000-yard stare, man. It's like he can't take it. So y'all help him out, all right? So when he's walking around on campus, he's not seeing that banner M everywhere. A trip to College Corner can solve that problem. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend or any weekend, you've got to make at least one trip to Restaurant Tyler. You got to get the best meal in town, and that's only available at Restaurant Tyler. For lunch, for dinner, or for Sunday brunch, we talk all the time about lunch. We love lunch. We are lunch people here on Thunder and Lightning. And when you want a blue plate, there's just no better place in town to go than Restaurant Tyler. If you want to have the best meal in town, it's really simple. Just walk in the front door at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Go to PriorityOneBank.com to find the location nearest you. And in doing so, you get to set up a bank account and, more importantly, a financial relationship that's going to last you for years to come. When if I'm talking to somebody about my money, I better be talking about somebody I trust, somebody that I know. I don't want to deal with somebody who's working 5, 6, 7 states away or maybe even half the world away in some call center. I don't want to deal with that. I want to know who I'm talking to. I want to be able to see their face. That's important to me. I think it's important to you guys as well. So if it is, then you need to give our friends at Priority One Bank a call. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. It is Super Bulldog weekend here. in Starkville. We talked earlier today to Jeff Lebby and about what you're going to see on, at the spring game. And Robbie and I will just go ahead and give you a little bit of a disclaimer. Not much.
Yeah, I don't know if we can preview this.
Yeah, I just want to go ahead and let you guys know that next week for the Rumblings, that if you ask, what did you guys take away from the spring game, our answer will be nothing.
Yes.
Pretty much.
I mean, yeah. There might be a couple.
Might be a couple of small things, but there's not
going to be. I guarantee you we can get more out of the spring game than anybody at Ole Miss got the other day.
Oh, Phil Steele was not happy about that. Not happy.
You know, I've gone back and forth on this, and I think it was like a little silly, but at the same time, I think Lane Kiffin had the right idea. We're not going to get anybody hurt in this. We're not going to give anybody any kind of tape on our team that gets to see some players and then try to poach our roster.
Right.
You know, it's... I think this is the way that spring games are trending.
Especially, you know, you close the scrimmages, so the coaches get to see what they want to see in the scrimmages, and then the spring game becomes something for the fans, yep. But you're not given any way of your information. Yeah, I agree with that.
And I don't know where I sit on that. Like, I think that's a good idea, because, like I said, nobody gets hurt. We've seen guys tear ACLs, Achilles, stuff like that, and that can happen at any time. That's always been my opinion, is you can be... you know, stepping off of a stair and tear your ACL or something. You know, like, that can happen anytime. But your chances are greater to be hurt in a game like that. I don't know exactly where I sit on this, because I think it is important to give fans a little bit of a look at your team heading into the season in a few months. That's going to help you sell tickets. That's going to help generate some excitement. That's going to help recruiting, I think, too. If I were Jeff Lebby, I think I would be willing to open it up a little bit more on Saturday, and maybe he will. I don't know what the whole process is going to be like. Just to give people, kind of like, you remember Dan Mullen's first spring game, we had the spread the fun stuff, yeah. And you know, everybody was really getting geared up for that.
I remember Jackie Sherrill's first spring game when he had the alumni game, and he had that 89-year-old guy score a touchdown. I mean, you know, you can do stuff like that, and it's fun for the fans.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but at the same time, you can try to keep your team kind of safe as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm
I don't know what the whole concept is.
They have not announced it. As we're recording, it's 12:30 on Thursday. Lebby said that they would announce that at some point. A creative scoring system. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. So, look forward to that. What is relevant is baseball. At least for one more weekend. Because, Robbie, I said it last weekend. I said it the Georgia weekend. I'm sorry. I'm back to it. And I'm going to go a step further this time. This is the most important weekend of Chris Lemonis' career. He has to not only win this series, he needs to sweep. This is the first time I'm putting the pressure of needs to sweep on this baseball team. They need to get back on track. And finishing this weekend, what are they? They're 7-8. Finishing this weekend 9-9. Would be massive for this baseball team. It would put them back on pace. Their RPI is, just for lack of a better word, crap.
It's in the 50s, isn't it?
It should still be. Let's double check that.
Metrics are not good on this team.
They're at 57. As we talked about it on Sports Talk Mississippi with Kendall Rogers, the win over Alcorn was in reality a defeat.
I wish
you lost
they...
8 to 9 spots of RPI playing that game.
I wish that they would amend that, how that's done.
So I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, they should, you know, be able to drop the lowest loss, right? Is that what you want to say? Or the lowest win?
Well, no, I was just thinking, like, in a game like that, if you come out and just destroy the team, you shouldn't drop 9 spots. If State run-ruled them, and...
That's what happens when you play 3-0-3.
I know that Valley is, like, one of the... not. Valley Alcorn is one of the, what does it matter, I guess?
Alcorn is worse than Valley, 301 versus 303.
Yeah, so I know they're one of the worst in the entire country, but, I mean, State's trying to do some good things with these in-state schools and play these in-state schools and give them a chance to come play here.
Right.
Probably get paid a good payout.
Yeah.
And you get punished, like, immensely for doing it, even if you run rule them.
Right.
So, I mean, you gave up, what, two or three hits in the game. You shut them out. You beat them in seven innings. Shouldn't drop almost double-digit spots.
So there were some people who were like, they should set up RPI where you, the lowest RPI loss you have doesn't count against you.
Yeah.
Right? That's fine if you want to do that. But then State still has three wins over 297. That's where Mount St. Mary's is.
That's kind of the problem is the whole schedule is just so bad. In
the problem
isn't
the schedule was so bad. The problem is that State lost six games in the non-conference.
Yeah,
if they had only lost one, they'd be fine right now.
Say they had four non-conference losses.
They'd be in much better shape.
You'd probably be 10 spots higher.
They have
10, 12
three losses to sub-200 teams. Mm-hmm. Austin, I'm sorry, three. With Austin Peay being two of them and Central Arkansas being one of them. And then they play 297 in a three-game home series.
Yep.
That's no good for the RPI. And then you mentioned the Alcorn game as well. Real quick, by the way, we have a potential Detroit Mercy. So you remember Detroit Mercy in basketball? And they couldn't win. We have one. Maryland Eastern Shore, 305 in the RPI, dead last. They're 0-30 on the season.
I mean, at some point you just luck up and win a game.
It's baseball. You'd think they'd win a game. They must be really bad.
It's kind of like basketball.
I'll be honest. I'm kind of surprised State didn't schedule them.
Yeah. Chris Mullins just looks at like the worst, like top 10 worst ranked teams. Like, all right, let's get these guys on the schedule.
Didn't we do this a few weeks ago? Who has the best record? Is there anybody? Who's the lowest
rated?
We
did that. We did that with basketball.
Yeah, so let's do this. Who has the lowest
rated with the best
Jackson
record?
Jackson State. They're at 260 and they're 20-11.
Wow.
Probably the best team in the SWAC, if I had to guess.
Jackson State usually has a solid baseball team.
They'll probably win the SWAC. Jackson State is between at 259 is Eastern Illinois, who's 12-20, and at 261 is Milwaukee, who's 7-25.
Oh my lord!
But that's what happens. Jackson State, they've played a three game set with Alcorn.
Yeah,
they've probably played three games with Valley. Arkansas Pine Bluff is at 304 of the bottom five in RPI. 301 through 305, three are from the SWAC.
Yeah, SWAC's not a great.
And then 299 is from the SWAC.
Is Southern still good?
Well, that was the basketball one. Southern Miss.
No. Southern.
I know. I'm looking.
Okay. Because their coach went to Missouri. He was at
this is
Memphis.
A problem because there's the Southern Conference. So
yeah.
Texas Southern is at 235. Southern is at 273.
Yeah. What's their record?
They're 14-16. But they're 10-3 in the SWAC.
Yeah.
What's Jackson State in the SWAC? That's what I should look at. Oh, they're 8-6 in the SWAC. That's why they're so low. Jeez Louise. Ugh. Okay. All right. Moving on.
So they only lost five non-conference games, and they're actually worse in the SWAC?
Yeah. That's crazy. Wow. Auburn.
They probably played some good teams in non-conference, I would think. So.
Auburn is 35th in the RPI. 19-17, but they're 35th because their strength of schedule is 2.
Yeah, they've played a good schedule.
They've played a good schedule.
Their non-conference schedule was actually like some good teams in there.
It's not bad. I mean, they played UAB, they played Iowa, they played Virginia.
They played Oklahoma?
No. They played UConn. They played three games with Austin Peay and lost one.
Who did they play in that? Didn't they play in like...
They play in the Jacksonville Classic,
Jacksonville.
Iowa, Wichita State, and Virginia.
Okay.
So the problem with Arkansas with Auburn is this. They've played five SEC series. Four of them are against the actual top four, the current top four in the country, Texas A&M, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Kentucky. That's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one's against Vanderbilt, who's 13th.
Yep.
So they're probably looking at Mississippi State and saying, thank God. You know, we're finally not playing not only a ranked team, but an elite team. Whereas Mississippi State is looking at this and saying, they absolutely have to get a sweep is the absolute what they really need.
Yeah.
It's what they really need.
They need that. They have to win the series.
If they don't win the series,
it's over.
We are going to be focusing on football a lot in the next few weeks. And then we'll come back to baseball when they do the coaching search.
Yeah, you have to win the series. You can't go.
So will they?
I think they will, only because Auburn has really struggled to pitch, which is so strange. They go through these stretches where they just cannot pitch under Butch. When you consider he's one of the best pitching coaches in the country at evaluating, developing arms.
Yeah.
He's one of the best. But for whatever reason, they have had stretches since he's been there where they've been a much better hitting team than they have been pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand it. Well, last year they were kind of like that too. You know, the state was State scored a lot of runs against them on Saturday and Sunday last year. And this has been a competitive series since Butch has been there, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, after the first year or two, State and Auburn have gone back and forth. They've had some games where they're scoring a lot of runs. Last
year's series was very competitive.
Last year's series was wild. State could have swept the series, or Auburn could have swept the series. And instead, State blew two games. They blew saves in both games, pretty much. Well, they won the Saturday game. But anyway, it's a really important weekend, and I think State's got to get good starts, build a lead, and make Auburn quit, essentially, like what you should have done against Ole Miss. I think they're kind of on a similar level, that if you start to build a lead, you get a lead out, I think they're going to say, not this again, you know? So they've kind of struggled to find their pitching this year. They got some guys that can really swing it, so you got to be careful with them. But State has seen some good lineups this year. I think State will be able to pitch it fairly well for the most part. The offense has got to come alive. It's got to give you some big hits with runners on base, which is something that they've lacked a lot of times this year. When you get guys in scoring position, you got to drive them in. You got to get hits with two outs, and I think you got to kind of get your mojo back. And we'll see if they're able to do that. I think what we saw from Pico Khan, I'm hoping that was a turning point for him the other night. And
that would be big.
I know what some people say, it was Alcorn. Yeah, I get it. But we've seen State throw some guys out there against terrible teams and not be able to get outs.
Yeah.
So
this year.
Yes, this year. Not as much as the last 2 years, but Pico coming in and just completely dominating a team he's supposed to dominate and doing it while throwing 95 miles an hour from the left side seems to be a good development to me. So if you can get him in there with Bradley Lofton still floating around in space somewhere, we don't know where he is, hopefully they can get him back at some point, because that's a tremendous talent, but we just don't know where he is. That's a big piece to have, another left-hander that you can bring in that can throw, that can start games, that can be a long reliever, a middle reliever. There's so many things you can do with Pico, and that would be huge to get him back, because it looks like you've probably lost Nate Dohm, maybe for the season. I don't know. We'll see, but I'm not counting on him at this point because of injuries. So adding another guy into the mix, I think, would be huge.
The way Pico pitched on Tuesday made me wonder why he didn't pitch against Ole Miss on Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have rather seen him in that situation than Nolan Stevens. But it is what it is there. From a hitting perspective, you know, there were some lineup changes against Alcorn. Ethan Pulliam got to start at second. Richard Cross told me, you know, he called the game on Sunday, so he got to talk to Lamonis before the game. And Lamont's a little more forthcoming with some information. And we saw Dylan Cupps back. They expect at some point to go to Larry as the DH with Mershon at second and Cup at short if they're ready to go there. But I think Pulliam gave him at least something to think about there to maybe keep him there. And I keep coming back to, can Cup play third? And if he can play third, I feel like he's a better option there than Kohler. I don't know what they're going to do with the lineup, but do you expect to see some changes in it this weekend, or do they just go with what they've been going with?
You would think. They've got three problems right now. Your third baseman should be hitting for you.
Yeah.
Most third basemen are
that is an offensive
a strong
position.
Part of your lineup, and you're not getting anything and having all year from Logan Kohler. And on top of that, he's kind of out of it defensively, too. We're not seeing the same Logan Kohler that we saw early in the season. Something's up with him in the mind.
Yeah.
And Chris Lemonis even said that. You know, he's not confident right now or whatever. So you got a problem there. You got a problem at the leadoff spot, the Monty Larry, not producing. And he's making some mistakes in the field. And then your DH has been a complete disaster. You haven't been able to find anybody that can do that.
Right.
So if you're going to keep a Monty Larry in there and Dylan Cup's not going to play or whatever, I'm just rolling with Aaron Downs at DH.
Yeah.
and we're just going to fight through
it. Just get him the at bats and let him
just
get
let him fight through it. He is the most capable of that group. If you're going to tell me that the choices are Aaron Downs, Michael O'Brien, Steven Spallitta, and Luke
Jackson McKenzie.
Luke McKenzie goes to Starkville Academy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Is he related to Duncan McKenzie? Got to be his son, right? Got to be the youngest son.
I don't know. No. I don't know if they're related, but okay. That's
okay. No.
But great athlete, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
If that's your choices, I'm rolling with Aaron Downs, and because he's proven it, and we're just the other three have a combined five hits on the year. And I think those are going to be good players, but right now they're just not ready, and you can't just throw them in there and just expect them to produce. So I'm just going to roll with Aaron Downs there. But I think the best thing is if Dylan Cup can play third base, let him play third and let him hit a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And just let Logan Kohler have a little bit of a break to sit back, watch the game a little bit, and relax.
Yeah.
And then when his time comes again, put him back in there. I mean, sometimes the best thing for guys
mm-hmm.
is to sit and watch.
Josh Hatcher had to do that.
Yeah.
And by the time he got back into it, he was at least a competent.
He helped Mississippi State win a national title. Yes.
Yeah. So I agree. And I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. Maybe with Cup being back, they can look at that. You know,
baseball is such a finicky game.
Cup is a good baseball player.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, people sometimes like he's a good athlete, blah, blah. Cup is a good baseball player. I think he could make that move.
I got to think he could.
Most guys who can play short, you think can play third.
It's a lot harder than, like, I remember last year everybody just clamoring for Bryce Chance to move to second base or mm-hmm. something. It's a lot harder than people think to just move positions like that. It's not a video game.
Right.
You know, it's a lot tougher.
I keep thinking about Moneyball.
Yeah.
So they're going to move Hatterberg to first, and he's like, it's not that hard. And the guy goes, it's extremely hard.
It's extremely hard to move.
What in life is it?
So, let's just move a guy on the MLB level to
who's never played first.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
So, I mean, it's, well, Tanner Allen and Brent Rooker made it look a lot easier than it was, I guess.
Yeah. No doubt.
But there's so many holes on this team right now. That's the thing. We talk about how close this team is and, you know, to getting over the hump and winning these close games and things like that. There's still so many problems with this team. You have so many holes in the lineup. You have guys that aren't performing in the field, little things not being done. It's just kind of it's kind of jumbled right now.
Yeah.
And it's not like in 2019 we looked at that team and said, if they could just fix what they got going on at second base.
Yeah.
And they move, you know, Justin Foscue over to second.
And it fixed it.
Like, everything was fixed at that point.
Yeah.
This team was capable of winning a national championship.
Yeah.
That's not the case with this team.
They are capable of being – if they can get a guy in there who can give them another batter.
Yeah.
That's the issue, too, is what's funny is, like, you almost wonder if you could DH for Kohler sometimes. It's like they just need somebody who can hit. Kohler's good enough defensively.
Yeah.
But he's
in kind of a funk on defense too, but I think he's carrying over his issues at the plate.
I agree with that.
And that can happen. You know, it's not – you don't just forget everything. They can say what they want to, but you don't just forget everything that happens at the plate when you go to the field.
Right.
That stuff's still in the back of
absolutely.
Your head.
Absolutely. It's just like anything else. Yeah, it's everybody carries stuff with them, you know. And if your part of your life is bad at work, you take it home. It's same. If it's bad at home, you take it to work. It's the same thing. If you're bad at the plate, take it to the field. So I get that.
And I know Kohler played at Memphis and against a different competition. And I get that too.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy has been a really good hitter over his career. And now something's up. Something's not right. And we see this with guys all the time. They go through funks. They have really bad stretches. He's just in a funk. It's tough for him right now to find a way out. And like I said, I think that is something that's carried over to his play in the field, and I think it's something that's carried over to Monty Larry in the field too. Both of those guys are struggling. They both need a chance to step back and take a breath and relax a little bit. And maybe that's on Friday night. Maybe that means Dylan Cupp's at shortstop and Mershon's at second. Or, you know, Kohler comes out and Cupp's at third. I don't know.
I feel like you need to make a change, because I feel like if you continue to do the same thing after the kind of weekend you just had, that carries over.
Yeah.
By making a change and giving yourself a little bit of a fresh start, you can put all, I feel like that helps you put things behind you a little bit faster. Whereas if it's just the same start, I mean, because then it becomes, we get the lineup and we tweet it out, and everybody's like, oh my God, Larry is still leading off.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Kohler is still in the lineup. And that,
all that does is just continue to fester
the vibes.
Yep.
There's some, I mean, fans know this.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the vibes matter.
Yeah.
You know, if team has bad vibes, it's just difficult. So I look forward to seeing some changes. Obviously, you know, we do this every Thursday. We're probably about an hour away from them announcing. They really just need to say it's Sierry, because it's Sierry on Sunday.
Yeah.
Just say it. Just say it.
Unless they're going to go with Carson Ligon, which they did one time.
They did once. And it, yeah, just go with Sierry. Everybody knows who it is. So, big series.
And he's
for
basically just an opener at this point. I don't think they throw him more than 2-3 innings.
Yeah. I think he had a good start against LSU. He had a good start against A&M.
He was pitching really well against Florida in relief until they should have never brought him in the ninth inning to face the top of the order.
They could have brought him in. The problem is they let him pitch to Caglione.
Yeah.
Just put that guy on base. So, anyway. Big series.
No sense in bringing that up again.
State should try to get 3.
Yes.
But if they don't get 2, then guys, the tone of this podcast has to change a little bit, and we're going to be a lot more college football forward at that point. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. The weather this weekend, I mean, it's not going to be great here in Starkville anyway, but wherever you are, if you get a chance to fire up the grill, nothing's going to beat the sizzle of beef. If the Kroger that I shop at here in Starkville has such a selection of beef that you can put on the grill.
Do you see Paul in there a lot?
I do. I see Paul and I see John.
I always say, tell Paul that he has like a room in there somewhere where he just sleeps.
He just pops out every now and then. I see Paul and I see John.
He's
a
in
lot.
Kroger like every day. Like,
you know who else
be,
I see?
He'll be on the phone. I hear buggies. I'm like, you must be at Kroger.
You know who else I've seen at Kroger? Not a lot during the season, but Lamonis.
Big Kroger guy?
I see him at Kroger.
Like, do you guys talk about beef?
So, yeah, this is funny. One time I was picking up some chicken, and he was just like, what are you doing? I thought you were a big beef guy. And I was like, I don't eat beef every day, coach. He's like, you know, you'll get in trouble eating that chicken. So, yeah. By the way,
Chris, if you're listening, we need you to go to fried chicken. If you're eating grilled chicken, no.
Fried chicken.
We need fried. Wash it down with a Coca-Cola.
I just realized something. Like 7 days ago at this moment, I was today's Thursday, isn't it?
Yes.
Never mind. Okay, never mind. It's not Friday.
Well, we can pretend it's Friday because people are probably listening to this on
If you're Friday. Listening at around 12:30 on Friday, that's when I was at Southern Coop.
Oh, yeah?
So.
I didn't get a chance to go.
Ah, we should have. I thought about after we left Sunday going to Southern Coop, but they're closed. They're closed on Sundays.
Went to Old Venice. It was good.
No, it's called Venice Town now.
Well, it's always going to be Old Venice to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. All that being said, we love a steak. And
which is completely different from what we were just talking about.
Exactly. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the
Hall. While we're at it, while we're talking about that, hey, guys, go check out Boardtown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If Robbie and I sound tired today, it's because we each ate a full pizza for lunch. So I walked an extra mile today. Normally I walk 3 miles a day. Today I walked 4 just so I could have a little extra room on the calories to get that pizza and wings down.
Well, we told Tyler Class that we'd give him one more shout out, but that's it. Again,
first taste was free.
Again, it was another outstanding meal.
I'm so tired though. I just want to go.
I want to go sleep.
So here in the studio we have these two little comfy like grandpa chairs over here. I just want to we could just take a nap.
We got the tower fan blowing.
Tower fan blowing. Your dad would fall asleep in about 5 seconds in that chair.
I probably would, too.
Yeah. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you're looking for. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend and you don't have a trip to Two Brothers on your agenda, well, I don't know what to tell you. You screwed up. As they say down here in the South, you done messed up. So, correct that mistake.
Oh, David, you done... You done messed up now.
No, that's not best. That's the best.
You done up
good this time. I wish we could tell that story on the air.
Better not.
No, we shouldn't. But we will tell you that Two Brothers is a great place to go. We always are talking about it because we're always there. I mean, this isn't us telling you this restaurant is good and then you never see us there. You got a much better chance of seeing me at Two Brothers than you do at seeing me at work most days. So head over to Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Oh, I forgot. I got a message. We got something cool happening here. Let me read exactly what it is. All right.
Lee Battle's going to be there Friday night.
Well, that's a good thing. Within the next 24 hours, all right, the Bulldog Initiative will email a mobile wallet membership card to current members that you can upload to your Apple Wallet.
Oh.
And you can use that for a 10% discount at Two Brothers on Super Bulldog Weekend.
Heck yeah.
So if you're a Bulldog Initiative member, you're going to get that, upload it to your Apple Wallet, and bam, 10% off the Bulldog Initiative all weekend. It started on Thursday through the close of business on Sunday. So support Two Brothers and enjoy the privileges of being a Bulldog Initiative member to receive your discount. So check that out. If you be on the lookout for that from the Bulldog Initiative.
And like I said, Friday night, I'm almost positive we'll have to check with Battle.
Battle and the Wheelers?
Battle and the Wheelers are playing Friday night at Two Brothers. I might try to stop by and get
Very
a look
good.
At this.
Very good.
I'm pretty positive. Let me check with him.
All right, you do that while I'm doing this. Great products, great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it now for 49 years. When you need new technology for your business, a new copier or a new printer, new computers, talk to the good folks at Advantage Business Systems. And then if something goes wrong, just call the number that made you the sale. And it's just that easy. You don't have to worry about being on hold with a 1-800 number. You don't have to make an appointment with an out-of-state technician for a week to 10 days from now. It's all right there for you at Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Oh, Jack Leiter's been called up.
That was relatively quick.
Yeah. First strikeout was three pitches. Imagine that.
Is he Rangers?
Is that the Rangers? I can't. Yeah.
I forget.
Oh, man. So the world champions have Jack Leiter? God, that's tough.
I'm almost positive that they also have Rocker.
Kumar?
Yeah.
No, do they? That's crazy.
Let me see.
You're still looking at stuff.
Yes.
This weekend
Rangers.
Wow.
They got Leiter and Rocker.
Should be good. This weekend at Maroon & Co., a lot of great stuff going on. I just retweeted. They have some awesome Bulldog Initiative stuff going on there. Those quarter zips are fantastic. T-shirts, polos. And also some Mossy Oak wear as well. That looks like it's a hoodie there. Really cool. Check it out. So you're supporting the Bulldog Initiative. You support local business. When you go to before you go to Davis Wade, before you go to Diddy Noble, make sure you've got a stop and planned at Maroon & Co. Don't forget that the code THUNDER15, 15% off regular price items. Exclusions do apply. What were you looking up the first time?
Battle. I was asking him.
Oh, so we're waiting on him to get back with us?
He said he is playing
All
with
right.
three Louisville guys.
Okay.
I got to.
When's the county stand up?
I got to figure out who the other two All are. Right. I know one of them is my boy Bryce Mitchell.
Okay. Oh. I didn't know Bryce was a musician.
That, different Bryce
oh,
Mitchell.
Oh, different Bryce Mitchell. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is playing and he says, you and I have no excuse not to be there.
I have a great excuse not to be there. I'm almost 50 years old, Robbie.
So?
You know, what am I doing on a Friday night? Go to bed. We'll see. You know what? Are you going to go?
I think I will.
You come pick me up. I'll go.
Well, you're not going to the game?
Oh, it's going to be after? Well, can you
I'll be after the game.
You just come pick me up. You come pick me up.
You're not going to the game?
No.
What?
Friday night? It'll start before I get off work.
What time does it start? Six?
Six.
Okay.
So, by the time I get there, it'll be the middle of the second inning. I don't like to do that. I can't deal with that. Because certain people will be like, oh, I'm getting there on time.
Well, they're going
to
do that anyways.
Yeah, so.
Now that you're not there, they'll talk about moving you to the back row or taking your credential away.
Okay. But let's play a song real quick. Let's just do that. Let me get this musical number done.
Creighton, 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 Creighton. Creighton, 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 Creighton.
All right, so into the portal, Mississippi State basketball goes for Michael, and we don't know yet. We don't know. So Nwoko? We're just going to do the best we can. Nwoko is what we're going with.
That'll work.
From Miami, 6'10", 245-pound center. Not a lot of production at Miami. Only 9 minutes per game. Average 3 points, 3 rebounds per game. Physically, look like a guy who can play at this level, but don't know a whole lot about him. My first guess is that this is a depth guy. Now, I don't want to go through the Blake Shapen thing again.
Yeah, let's just hope.
But I don't think this is going to be the guy that State has targeted to be their starting center in 2024-25. I don't think that that's the case.
No. And I think the ceiling is there for him eventually to be that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people were putting his numbers out there, not impressive, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at a lot of true freshmen and their numbers their first year
right.
on camp. That doesn't mean that this guy can't make that kind of jump in year two.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to, you know, hype him up to be something he's not just in case this is the only guy they take or whatever. I'm just saying I think he has the potential to be a good player. But yes, if this guy can be your number two and you go out there and get an established center to be your number one, this was a great get for Mississippi State,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And State, one of their top transfer targets, Ruben Chinliu, I believe is correct, committed to Florida. He visited State last week.
By the way, I mean, how many centers is Florida going to have on this team?
Florida is going very old school. They're going to go start five centers. Dare you to get a rebound.
Are these kids not paying attention to the roster or what? I mean, it's like Mississippi State's roster is the only roster that gets paid attention to by kids. So how is that possible?
Well, one thing I thought was funny, just a different sport, but this kid, Jeremiah McLeod, right? He says LSU's talking to him about early playing time. Early playing time is the dumbest thing to tell a kid right now. You don't know what the roster is going to be year to year.
No.
You have no idea. This isn't where you look at the roster and you go, okay, I'm a freshman and they've got four starting seniors and they're all going to be gone. So, yeah, there will be an opportunity there. Nobody knows anything about early playing time right now. I mean, if you're a quarterback and you're looking at Ole Miss, you're like, well, Dart's gone. Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean anything. So, it is what it is.
I don't know what's going to happen with State's roster because it's really, like, information has really gotten tight
this
week.
Yeah, there was some information that I don't think the staff wanted out there.
Yeah.
And it got out there. And now the dam has been sealed up.
Yeah, so they could be doing nothing, they could be getting no headway, or they could be really making some moves.
It's going to be kind of like it was yesterday.
We don't know.
Nwoko, where we're just going to be like, oh, okay, they got a commitment.
Yeah, Jans, from what I understand, Jans has really put a clamp on everything now.
The flow of information has stopped.
Yeah.
So that just is what it is. That's his program.
But we'll see.
That's fine. And then on the women's
basketball. You know what flow of information I would like to see?
What?
Chris Jan signed an extension. And
that would be some lovely flow of information. on the women's basketball front, so we talked last week about some of the players that we're going to visit. Looks like State got one in the Amaya Russell.
Anaya
Russell.
Yep.
But Haley Van
Supposed
Lith.
To talk to her today. I don't know if
Haley Van Lith has, I think she's already committed to TCU.
Yeah.
And then you said that the
Lamani, I reported that yesterday, by the way, for the people that, oh, we found out about this. I reported on the board yesterday.
Yes, that's right. I saw your post. And then Leilani
Kapanis.
You said in that same report you don't think she'll be at Mississippi State either.
No, I'd be shocked. I think she's kind of blowing up now.
Shocked
Texas
is a big word. I mean, I'm surprised.
Shocked. She was, I think, on Thursday visiting Ole Miss. She's probably going to go to Tennessee. Probably going to go to Texas for visits. I don't see it happening for Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
So 1-for-3 on that weekend. They need to start getting some players. They really do. And they have one in this weekend. I'm not sure yet when she's coming in or if she's already here, so I won't say who that is. But it's a player from another Power 5 school. Not a huge, huge name, but one that I think could help them.
Okay.
And I don't know about the rest of the weekend if they have anybody coming in, but I know that Sam Purcell was working on having more visitors. So they're trying to do what they can here, but they've got to start having some production in the portal to fill this roster out because right now they're at With Anaya Russell, they're at five.
Right now, Ja'Kayla Jordan needs to average 48 points a game.
Yeah. They're five players plus the new one that came in. We'll add her to the freshman class. So they're at four high school players. So
with
nine.
Russell and Jordan.
You're at nine players.
Yeah.
Probably need about four more transfers, I think.
You need at least one that's good.
Yes.
Like a quality starting player. So see how it goes. All right. Hopefully we'll have some portal news of some kind because a bunch of people are visiting this weekend. Football,
speaking
basketball,
of,
baseball.
Just completely unrelated to Mississippi State, I guess. Well, it might be somewhat related. The Cavender twins are just doing whatever they want to. What one of them was, they both quit college basketball and were going to WWE. So they went to NXT. They showed up like to one TV taping, and we saw them in the ring, and that was it.
Yeah.
And then one of them announced she was going to come back and go to TCU.
Correct.
They were both at Miami. Started at Fresno State. Transferred to Miami, and then she set out all of last year because she transferred like in the middle of the season or something. The other one announced yesterday, I think, that she was going to come back and go to Miami for one more year. Now the other one has decided she wants to transfer to Miami. How is this happening?
At this point, college.
They're letting them do whatever they want because of the image that they have.
Exactly.
But it's like, what is happening? We could not get Jaquarius Spivey eligible last year, and he was a graduate, had just one more year left. He couldn't play at all. These two are transferring back and forth, quitting basketball for a year, coming back. I don't understand.
You're not meant to understand, Robbie. This is just the way it is now.
But I'm going to guess the one leaving at TCU did not want Haley Van Lith to impede on her.
That would have been an issue.
Yeah.
Been like, you know. People would, and there's some talk that the Kentucky girl Shear might end up there. I mean, yeah, I mean you scoff at that, but there's something to that. That there's, you know, they would step on each other's toes as far as being influencers goes.
Which there's only enough room for one blonde haired girl on the team.
Yeah, there you go. All right, guys, Super Bulldog weekend. If you're going to be in Starkville, hope you enjoy it, and if not, we will see you on Monday, and we'll recap everything that happens and everything we're going to talk about. Have a good one, guys. Later today on the podcast feed, our spring preview for Texas A&M will be up. Couldn't schedule that until Friday afternoon, but I got it in, and we'll do that, and it'll be on the podcast feed for you to check out. Have a good one, guys. Talk to you later. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Mississippi Media Production.